Old radio.
Old radio.
Old radio.
Old radio.
Old radio.
Comedy Podcast.
Welcome to episode 23 of season 5 of the Old Radio Comedy Podcast. Today, we bring you an episode from The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. Boys Night Out, originally broadcast on November 14th, 1948, as well as an episode from that great sitcom, It's Higgins, Sir, Nancy Elopes with Pudgy, originally broadcast on August 21st, 1951. Now sit back and enjoy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ready, Pop?
Oh, thanks, Ricky. I bet I know what we're going to have, too. Orange juice, boiled eggs, toast, and coffee.
We forgot something very important.
For breakfast?
Well, we're not going to eat it, but it's on the table and we can't eat without it.
Oh, you're so right. Not only that, the solid silver with beauty that lives forever is international sterling.
Solid silver with beauty that lives forever is International Sterling. From Hollywood, International Silver Company, creators of International Sterling, presents The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring America's favorite young couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. As we look in at the Nelson household at 1847 Rogers Road, it's just a little past breakfast time. David and Ricky are outside somewhere, and Ozzie and Harriet are just finishing their coffee.
More coffee, dear?
No, thanks.
You didn't finish your eggs, did you?
No, I had plenty, thanks. How come you fried them this morning?
Oh, I don't know, dear. It's just that you've had boiled eggs every morning for so long, I thought I'd give you a little change and fry them. You didn't like them, did you?
Oh, I ate them, most of them.
Yes, but you didn't like them, I could tell. You didn't smile.
Well, I never smile when I'm eating eggs. That is, unless it's a wide egg sandwich.
I'm sorry. I thought you might like them a little different for a change.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with them. It's just that you sort of get used to a certain breakfast. I just figure, why change something just for the sake of changing?
Suppose that's a masculine attitude. Personally, I kind of like to do things differently once in a while. Get a fresh outlook. Maybe I'm just in a reckless mood today. I've even been thinking of having my hair cut. How do you think I'd look with one of the new short haircuts?
Well, I wouldn't want you to get a crew cut.
Don't be silly, dear. You know I never get a crew cut in the winter. It's much too cold. I'm surprised you haven't noticed, though. So practically all the girls are wearing shorter hairdos lately.
Women are sure hard to figure out. Men like women with long hair and short skirts, and look what happens.
It's reverse psychology, dear. Women do the opposite to get the things they want. Look at the attention women have had in the past 2 years.
I suppose so.
And you don't want me to get my hair cut?
Oh, I don't care. After all, it's your head.
Funny thing, I noticed that when I was brushing my teeth this morning.
If you asked me for my opinion, I told you. I like your hair the way it is. If you want to get it cut, for goodness sakes, go ahead. It's your head. Oh, I said that.
You know, it's funny how men get set in their ways. Seems to be a masculine trait to resist any sort of a change. You're used to boiled eggs, fried won't do. You're used to seeing my hair long, so you don't want me to get it cut.
Well, it isn't a question of men being set in their ways. At least I'm not. I like my eggs boiled. I've liked them boiled for years. Just because I like the same things year after year doesn't mean I'm set in my ways.
What does it mean?
Oh, it means I'm in a rut. I just like certain things. Fact of the matter is, I don't care how you fix my eggs, and I don't care how you wear your hair. Have it cut short, fry it, boil it, poach it.
It's nothing to get excited about.
I'm getting excited. You said I was set in my ways because I like boiled eggs, and it isn't true. To show you, tomorrow you can fix my eggs any way you want to. Fry them, scramble them, or poach them. It won't make a bit of difference because I won't eat them.
Hi, Oz.
Oh, hiya, Thorny.
Oh, careful, Oz. Don't lean on the wet paint.
Huh? Oh, I painted your fence. I thought you just painted it last spring.
It's Catherine's idea. It was green before to match the lawn. Now she wants it white. Expects to have a lot of snow this winter.
Women get some great ideas, don't they?
Yeah, you never know what they're going to think of next.
So changeable. One day it's one thing, the next day it's something else. They're never satisfied to leave things as they are.
Yeah, that's feminine nature, I suppose.
Let me ask you one thing, Thorny. How do you like your eggs cooked?
Sunny side up. Are we going to eat here in the yard?
Now, I happen to be a guy who likes boiled eggs in the morning. All of a sudden, out of a clear sky, I get fried eggs this morning.
Well, I hope you didn't take a thing like that sitting down. If I were you, I'd object plenty. Run an ad in the paper. I will not be responsible for any eggs fried by my wife.
Not only the eggs, it's a whole big silly thing. What would you say, Thorny, if your wife walked up right now and said she wanted to have her hair cut? Would you object?
Well, I certainly would. I'd put my foot down. I'd tell her positively not.
That's right, Thorny, because you like her hair the way it is, nice and long.
Well, not necessarily long, Oz. I just wanted to have hair. She had it cut yesterday.
Just because I like Harriet's hair the way it is and my eggs boiled, right away I'm set in my ways. You've known me for years, Thorny. Am I set in my ways? Am I a stick in the mud, a fuddy-duddy, narrow-minded? The answer is no.
Oz, if you ask me a question, let me answer.
You feel that you're set in your ways, Thorny?
Not necessarily.
Of course not, but women don't see it that way. Just because a guy enjoys boiled eggs in the morning, they want to change him, switch to fried eggs. Does that make any sense? No.
There you go answering it.
This is Wednesday. We go bowling tonight. We bowl every Wednesday night. Does that mean that we're...
No.
That we're set in our ways? No.
Beat you that time.
I'm on my way down to the drugstore to get some ice cream, vanilla and chocolate. I always get vanilla and chocolate simply because I like vanilla and chocolate. Doesn't mean I'm set in my ways.
I'll walk you down, Oz. I think the new Esquire magazine is
it. Oh, thanks. See, there you are. You always walk me down on Wednesday. It just happens that Esquire magazine usually comes in on a Wednesday. Doesn't mean that you're set in your ways. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to buy Esquire. You could buy the Ladies' Home Journal if you wanted to.
Well, sure, if I was a lady.
I mean, if you really wanted to, you could buy the Ladies' Home Journal instead of Esquire. You could do it because you aren't set in your ways.
But I like Esquire, huh?
Yeah, but you could buy the Ladies' Home Journal, though, Thorny. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Oz, I don't think I'll walk you down to the drugstore today.
Why not?
I have a feeling I'd come home with a Ladies' Home Journal.
Hello?
Hello, Harriet. It's Mother.
Oh, hello, Mother. How's your cold?
Oh, I'm nearly back to normal, dear. The doctor gave me a shot of a wonderful serum yesterday. Picked me up overnight.
Well, that's fine.
Of course, I still cough a little, sneeze a little, squeeze a little.
Well, I thought you were all fixed up.
Well, the hives are gone.
Hives?
The hives from the first shot.
Oh, you had two shots?
Yes. One was for my cold, but my system had a negative reaction and I broke out in hives. So he gave me the second shot for the hives.
What did he do for your cold?
Well, I'm going over to see him in a few minutes. Of course, he's working under a handicap. He's sick of that with the cold himself. How are Ozzie and the boys?
Oh, fine, thanks.
Oh, I almost forgot, Harry. Now, listen to this. On the way downtown this morning, I saw the most beautiful beige rug in the Emporium window. Just perfect for your living room.
I'm way ahead of you, Mother.
You've seen it?
Mm-hmm, yesterday. In fact, I'm having it delivered tonight while Ozzy's at the bowling alley.
You're going to surprise him?
In a way, yes. You know how men resist any changes around the house. I figure if he walks in and there it is in familiar surroundings, he's much more apt to like it.
Oh, just like your father. I remember I wanted new kitchen linoleum once, so I had the man put it down. Had it all waxed before your father came home.
Did he like it?
I think he would have if he hadn't broken his arm when he walked in. But I think you're doing a smart thing, dear.
I hope so. I figure it's worth trying anyway.
Let me know how it works out.
Okay, Mother. Goodbye.
Oh, hello, Emmy Lou.
I can't stop you, Mr. Nelson. Be sure and go down to the Bijou this week. They have a picture there that's simply terrific.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's so good. It's a return engagement of a re-release of a remake by special request of the manager.
What's the name of it?
Tyrone Power.
That's a good name for a picture.
Oh, it's such a wonderful movie, Mr. Nelson. Somebody ought to make a book out of it. It's about a man who's completely irresponsible. Oh, I just adore irresponsible men. And the woman in the picture, she was irresponsible, too.
An irresponsible woman?
They were. They kissed on the street. They kissed on the bus. They kissed in crowded railroad stations. They wanted people to see him kissing. Even when the hero took the heroine home, he'd strike a match so people could see him kissing goodnight.
Oh, well, that's very interesting, Emmy, but I've got to go down to the drugstore.
Oh, he was so romantic, so unpredictable. Toward the end of the picture, he held the girl in his arms, and everyone in the theater thought they'd get married. But they didn't. He didn't even kiss her.
Maybe he ran out of matches.
You should have seen him. He wouldn't work. He was undependable. He was fickle. He had bad habits. He beat her. He was irresponsible. He didn't earn a living. He borrowed money from her. He told lies. He cheated. He gambled. Gee, he was cute.
You mean to say that women really think that kind of a man is more attractive?
Of course they do. What fun is a man who does exactly the same thing every day? What fun is it when you know exactly when your husband is coming home?
Oh, say, that reminds me. I'm late now.
It takes all the joy out of life to have a dull, stodgy, conservative husband. Women like thrills, excitement. They like a man who's impetuous, gay, devil-may-care.
Watch your language, Emmy Lou.
They like a wild life with an exciting man. A man who does fantastically imaginative, unpredictable things. I imagine you were that way when you were young, weren't you, Mr. Nelson?
What do you mean when I was young, Emmy Lou? I'm not so dependable. I'm not set in my ways. Nobody knows what I'm going to do next. Let me show you something. Wait till I pull up my trouser legs. Look at those garters. One green, one rubber band.
Well, I don't want to keep you. Where'd you say you were going?
Down to the drugstore and get the ice cream for dinner.
Oh, yes, a pint of chocolate and a pint of vanilla.
No, there's where you're wrong. I'm getting a quart of Tutti Frutti.
Oh, Mr. Nelson, you're so unpredictable.
Could it be possible that from now on there'll be a new Ozzy? A fascinating, unpredictable Ozzy who will always go for the new and different? Well, that I want to see. Yep, that I want to see. Almost as much as I want you people to see International Sterling's beautiful Joan of Arc pattern. Joan of Arc was discontinued during the war, but now it's back again, back at your request. A sort of command performance. And what a stunning thing it is. Just look how beautifully the shell ornament is carved. See how graceful are the lines from tip to bowl. Every detail of Joan of Arc is finished to perfection, back as well as front. It's the solid silver you dreamed of. A perfect example of why, when it comes to a choice of Sterling patterns, so many women select International Sterling. If you haven't yet chosen your family silver, visit your International Sterling dealer tomorrow
See Joan of Arc and find out about the easy payment terms. You'll never be so proud of your table as the day you set it with International Sterling's magnificent and widely acclaimed pattern, Joan of Arc. Something very mysterious has happened to that solid, dependable citizen, Ozzie Nelson. For 8 years now, on Wednesday night, Ozzie would walk into Miller's drugstore, go over to the soda fountain, and buy 2 pints of ice cream, 1 chocolate and 1 vanilla. But tonight, the routine has been broken. Ozzie's set pattern of living has come unstitched. Instead of 2 pints, 1 chocolate and 1 vanilla, he stepped up to the counter and said,
"Give me a quart of Tutti Frutti."
What frivolity! What irresponsibility! But if you think that was unpredictable, listen to what he did as he was leaving the store. Instead of walking to the door, looking over his left shoulder and saying, "Goodbye, George," as he's done for the past 8 years, Ozzie walked to the door, looked over his right shoulder and said,
"So long, Charlie."
Mom, how come Pop hasn't come home yet?
I don't know, David. He should have gotten back from the drugstore at 5:30. It's almost 5:45.
Maybe he had an accident.
Oh, Pop wouldn't have an accident on his bowling night.
That's right. He only has accidents when spring cleaning comes around.
Have you told Pop about the rug yet, Mom?
No, and don't you either. I want to surprise him. A man's coming tonight to put the rug down while your father's bowling. So let's not say anything about it and spoil a surprise, huh?
Okay, you better tell Ricky, though. He's such a blabber, Mom.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, I think that's Pop now. I hear a car out front.
Oh, no, it couldn't be, Daddy. He didn't take the car today.
Maybe he bought a new one.
Hi there, everybody.
Hello, dear.
Hi, Pop.
What was the car out in front? Thorny bring you home?
No. You know how irresponsible I am, Harriet. On an impulse of the moment, I took a cab home.
Clear from downtown?
No, from the drugstore down at the corner.
You called a cab just to drive up the hill?
Yeah, wasn't that a silly thing to do? I don't know why I do those things. I'm just so unpredictable.
You better give me that ice cream. I predict it'll be dripping on the floor.
Ice cream? Oh, yes, the package here. Here, take this, David. I'm so irresponsible lately.
Hey, Pop, what kind of ice cream is this?
Oh, that's Tutti Frutti, David.
What's Tutti Frutti?
It's ice cream with little pieces of fruity and chunks of tutti all mixed up.
How come you didn't get chocolate and vanilla, Pop?
I thought Tutti Frutti would be nice for a change.
Gee, I don't know if I'm going to like Tutti Frutti.
Well, you'd better like it, Ricky. If you don't eat your Tutti Frutti ice cream, you won't get any dessert. No, that doesn't sound right. Harriet, if the boys don't eat their dessert, what don't they get?
They don't get any carrots.
Don't get your carrots. I'll put the ice cream in the refrigerator, will you, Dave? I think I'll sit down on the floor and read the paper.
The floor? What's wrong with a chair?
Oh, I always sit in a chair to read. I'll try the floor for a change. You want the back section of the paper, dear?
Mozzie, that isn't the Evening Bugle.
No, I didn't get the Bugle.
But you always get the Evening Bugle.
Well, I didn't this time. I got the Morning Trombone.
I think it's called Tribune, dear.
Tribune, trombone, what's the difference? Both musical instruments. Let's see what's in the paper.
Are you comfortable, dear?
Of course I'm comfortable. Why shouldn't I be comfortable?
Well, aren't you going to take off your overcoat?
Why? Is there any law that says a man has to take off his overcoat? I just feel like wearing my overcoat.
What happened? Did you forget to put on your pants?
I just feel like wearing my overcoat.
Ozzie, what's the matter with you?
Nothing, dear. Can I help it if I'm irresponsible, unpredictable?
Who said you were?
Well, I really am. Nobody knows what I'll do next.
Well, I do. You'll wash your hands for dinner. It'll be ready in a few minutes.
What time are we having dinner tonight?
Same time we have it every night, 6:00.
Let's have it at 9 instead.
Well, if you think you can hold off until 9:00.
No, not 9:00. 9 minutes after 6. You want to start living on a precise schedule, doing the same things day in and day out? That's be a little different.
It's all right with me, dear.
In fact, when I wash my hands, you know what I'm going to do?
I can't imagine.
I'm going to dry them on hers.
Mom,
loud, Ricky. Do you want to spoil the surprise?
Well, Daddy always leaves for the bowling alley promptly at 8 o'clock, so I told the man to get here a little after 8.
Harriet!
In here!
Harriet, have you seen my banjo anyplace?
Banjo? I didn't know you had one.
Oh, yes. I thought I'd get it out and play a few tunes. You know, something a little different.
Well, you don't have time. Have you forgotten tonight is your bowling night? Oh, my goodness, it's 8 o'clock. You'd better hurry, dear. I put your shoes and the bowling ball right by the front door. You don't even have to go upstairs.
You don't understand, Harriet. I'm not going bowling tonight.
But you have to. The man is... I mean, that is...
What man?
That man that lives next door. Yes, that's it, Thorny. You wouldn't want to disappoint Thorny, your old pal.
Yeah, that would be a dirty trick, wouldn't it? Well, if you insist... Harriet, stop pushing me.
I wasn't pushing you, dear. I was just patting you on the back because it's so good of you not to disappoint a friend.
It's the first time I've ever been patted on the back with two hands and a knee. Looks like you're awful anxious to get me out of the house.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. David, get your father's hat.
Here it is, Mama. I got it right here.
Here, Papa, help me on with your coat.
I don't think I'll wear a coat. I know it's cold out, but I'm so unpredictable.
Well, you better carry it on your arm. Now, hurry, dear. You'd want to keep the other man waiting.
Good night, Papa.
Good night, dear.
Whole family is getting unpredictable.
What happened, Oz? You didn't stop by for me.
Oh, I was just on my way over, Thorny. So we're a few minutes late. Who cares? You know, it's a funny thing. Harriet... Something the matter?
That man over there. I think he's looking for an address or something.
Pardon me, gentlemen. Could you tell me...
Say, aren't you Thornberry?
Well, yes, but
I don't... you remember me? Mulligan. I was the other end man at the Elks Mistress Show.
Oh, of course. How are you? Glad to see you. This is Mr. Nelson.
Oh, glad to know you.
Glad... Well, I remember you, Mulligan. Didn't you do the ringmaster in the big circus number two?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, sure, you were the head of the show.
Oh, go away now. Toward nothing at all.
Say, what are you doing over in this neck of the woods?
Well, I came over here to deliver a rug. Some woman had to have it put down tonight. Her husband's a bonehead that don't like to have things chained around.
What's the address on it?
1847 Rogers Road. Name's Nelson. Do you know them, Mr. Nelson?
Well, yes, that's my house.
Oh, then you're the... Now, no offense at what I said, Mr. Nelson. I didn't know you were the bonehead.
No wonder Harriet was so anxious to get me out of the house.
She pulled a fast one, huh?
That's what she thinks, Thorny. But I just thought of a terrific gag we could pull. Mr. Mulligan, would you care to join us?
Thanks, I'd be glad to. Better make mine a short one, though, during working hours.
No. No, I mean in the gag. Now, listen here. You've all heard the expression, snug as a bug in a rug. Well, you and Mulligan carry the rug.
Put the lamp in the dining room, David. I want the floor in here as clear as possible.
What do I do with this footstool, Mom?
You better put that in the dining room, too.
Gee, the dining room's starting to look like the living room.
Or the attic. Come on, Slowpoke. I'm not going to do all the work.
Now cut it out, you guys. I'll send you both to bed. Just a minute.
Mrs. Nelson?
Oh, yes. Good evening. Would you just bring the rug in here, please? Well, Thorny, what are you doing?
Oh, I met Mulligan outside, and I just thought I'd give him a hand.
You know, these rugs are pretty heavy.
I'm sorry about making you deliver it tonight, Mr. Mulligan.
Oh, that's all right. I wasn't doing anything in particular. Just eating dinner. Careful with that end, Mr. Thornberry.
What makes the rug so lumpy?
Oh, that. Well, what does make the rug so lumpy, Mr. Thornberry?
Well, it is probably just the underpad. They sometimes get bunched up when the rug is rolled.
Yeah, sure. That happens all the time. If you'll just step to one side, Mrs. Nelson, we'll unroll the rug for you.
No, don't unroll it. Just stand it there in the corner.
Stand it in the corner? But I don't remember which end of the hand. I mean, the upper.
If Ozzie doesn't like it, Mr. Mulligan will just have to come back tomorrow and roll it up again. Just throw it in the corner until I find out how Ozzie likes it.
Believe me, Harriet, he's going to like it a lot better unrolled.
Oh, but Thorny, he's such an unpredictable person. He might not even want a new rug.
Oh, let him unroll it, Mom.
Please, Mom, we want to see it.
Well... Okay, unroll it.
Hurry up, Mulligan. Let's go.
Wait a minute. I gotta make me speech. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the wonder of the age. You are about to witness the only time in history a man, cold sober, mind you, has been rolled in his own living room. Heave-ho!
Surprise, everybody.
Hey, Ozzie!
Water.
Ozzie was rolled up in the rug.
Cool, clear water.
Oh, how clever.
Surprise.
Oh, Ozzie, how unpredictable. Ozzie?
Hmm?
Are you mad at me for buying the rug?
No, dear. Go to sleep.
How do you like it?
Like what?
The new rug.
Well, it's a little tight through the shoulders. Kind of warm and scratchy, but it's a nice rug to be rolled up in.
Do you like the color?
Oh, black is all right.
Beige.
Looked black where I was.
Tell me truthfully, dear. Do you like the rug?
Yes, I really do. I've never been smothered by a nicer one.
I was a little worried after the way you talked at breakfast. Men always seem to resist changes of any kind around the house.
I guess that's the way nature works it out. Women are fundamentally insecure, so they want to change everything. Men like things comfortable, familiar. Sometimes I even make believe I don't notice new things, but I do.
Oh, darling, I'm so glad you said that. I was afraid you hadn't noticed my hair.
Your hair?
Yes, I was afraid you might not like it cut short. What are you doing?
Going to turn the light on for a minute.
I pulled out the plug. Now tell me, do you think I should get my hair cut?
Harriet, don't be silly. You think I didn't notice that you got your hair cut short?
You like it, dear?
Very much. Harriet.
Yes, dear?
Did you really get it cut?
No, I didn't, dear. But now that I know how much you like it, I'll have it cut first thing in the morning.
If you want to see a picture of real bewilderment, just take a look at Ozzie Nelson.
I bet he looks about the same way my husband did last night when I met him at the door in my best dinner dress.
Well, didn't he know you were going to a party?
We weren't. That's why he was so bewildered. He couldn't imagine why I'd get so dressed up when nobody was coming. But I think you'll understand, Mr. Smith, because yesterday was the day I received my set of International Sterling's wonderful Joan of Arc pattern. I couldn't treat that just like any old silverware.
Oh, indeed you couldn't. Joan of Arc is the kind of silver pattern that deserves a celebration. It's one of the most enchanting designs International Sterling has ever created. Why, you should have seen the letters that came in during the war when Joan of Arc wasn't available. You'd think women just couldn't bear to entertain without Joan of Arc.
I know. I wrote one of them.
And weren't you surprised to find out how easy it was to buy?
Amazed would be more like it. Why, just in all, my service cost under $169. And I didn't have to pay for it all at once, either. My International Sterling dealer and I worked out a wonderfully convenient payment plan.
Yes, I hope anybody who thinks this beautiful Joan of Arc pattern is out of her reach will drop in at her International Sterling dealer's. She'll soon see how easy it is to own and how thrilling, too. Because this is the solid silver with beauty that lives forever. It's International Sterling.
I guess I'm just an old stick in the mud or a creature of habit or something. This is the kind of a breakfast I like.
Oh, that's good, dear.
No surprises or changes. My two medium boiled eggs. Not too hard, not too soft. Always the same. My coffee, exactly the same flavor and consistency. Oh, you're wonderful, dear. Even the toast never varies. Always the same. Will you pass me the toast, David, please? Thank you.
Come in again next week.
week to another adventure of Ozzie and Harriet, starring Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard.
And remember, the solid silver with beauty that lives forever is International Sterling.
Yes, Harriet, the solid silver with beauty that lives forever is International Sterling. Appearing in support of Ozzie and Harriet were John Brown, Tommy Bernard, Henry Blair, Janet Waldo, Loreen Tuttle, and Jack Kirkwood. Original music was composed and conducted by Billy May. This program originates in the Hollywood studios of the National Broadcasting Company and is also broadcast over the Trans-Canada Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is Vern Smith speaking.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
There's no mister. It's just Higgins, sir.
The National Broadcasting Company presents a new comedy series, It's Higgins, Sir, created and transcribed by Paul Harrison, and starring Harry McNaughton as Higgins. Well, all is quiet and peaceful at the Roberts house this evening. Mrs. Roberts is up in her bedroom sewing. Mr. Roberts missed dinner and is still out on a business appointment. Tommy and Debbie have gone to bed, and Nancy Roberts is entertaining her boyfriend, Pudgy, in the living room. Higgins, the butler, starts to dust the dining room table, and...
Well, that's that. No need to dust the dining room.
And so Higgins goes on to dust the living room.
My word, it's dark. There's just the light from the fish tank. Miss Nancy and Master Pudgy have stepped out. Well, I can't dust in the dark, so it's on with the lights.
Higgins!
Oh, Miss Nancy, why are you sitting in the dark?
We were just... We... Oh, Higgins!
Oh, perhaps the bright lights were bothering your eyes.
Yes, that's it. Pudgy and I like to sit in a room with soft lights, don't we, Pudgy?
You don't say. Oh, I say, Master Pudgy, your lip is bleeding.
Higgins, that doesn't happen to be blood. Would you please stop disturbing us?
Oh, of course, Miss Nancy. Very sorry.
Good evening, Higgins.
Good evening, sir.
Where's Mrs. Roberts?
She's in her room, Mr. Roberts.
Oh, good. I'd let you and I go into the living room. Well, the lights are out.
Oh, I wouldn't do that if I were you, sir.
Higgins, you stop it. Oh, Daddy, you.
Hello there, Mr. Roberts. Quite a surprise meeting you here.
Why, I live here.
It seems that Master Pudgy was having trouble with his eyes. He found the little light from the fish tank more soothing.
Well, it should be. He's got fish eyes.
Daddy, you're embarrassing me to death.
Pudgy, I think it's time for you to go home.
It is? Gee, I thought it was early yet.
It's later than you think.
Yeah. Well, good night, Nancy. Good night, Mr. Roberts.
Father, what you just did was perfectly terrible.
There'll be no more sitting in the living room with the lights out.
The light in the fish tank was on, sir.
Nancy is not a guppy.
All we were doing was holding hands.
Well, Pudgy can do that with the lights on. I won't have it, Nancy, and to help you remember, you'll do without the car for a week.
But we need the car. Oh, Daddy, you just don't understand at all. I'm not a child anymore, and I won't be treated like one. Good night!
Holding hands in the dark. Ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous, sir. It's clever. That way, she doesn't have to see him.
Yes, dear, Philip.
Oh, yes, dear. I'm home.
I suppose you had a terribly hard day at the office.
Oh, terrible. And the worst part was this evening.
But you're doing so much night work, dear. I'm sure Mr. Bascom could help you.
No. The boss gave me the job to do, and I'll see it through.
What's he like?
Who?
Your new client. What's he like?
Oh, yes. The new client. Oh, he's... Well, actually, I haven't paid too much attention to what he looked like.
Beg pardon, sir, your coat.
What's wrong with my coat?
I'd better brush it off, sir.
But why right now?
Because there's a long blonde hair on its other.
A long blonde hair?
Yes, madam, here it is. Oh, I say, that is long.
Blonde hair? Where?
Here you are, sir. Blonde and wavy. And very, very silky.
Long, blonde, and silky.
Oh, yes. Oh, that darn Cocker Spaniel.
Cocker Spaniel?
Yes. One jumped all over me this afternoon.
Oh, my word, sir. A Cocker Spaniel jumped all the way up to your lapel.
Yes, very frisky.
Well, dogs always did like you, dear. I'm going upstairs now. Will you be up soon?
Yes. As soon as I have a little talk with Higgins.
Well, don't you be too long. I want you to tell me more about that blonde Cocker Spaniel. She sounds so cute.
Higgins?
I must dust the living room, sir.
Higgins? About the long, silky blonde hair.
Oh, yes, sir. What would you like me to do with it?
Eat it! And I could kill you for mentioning it.
But, sir, I should think you'd be proud of the attraction you obviously have to Cocker Spaniels.
Higgins, this new client is a woman. A very attractive and very aggressive woman. Miss Armbruster's rich, beautiful, and unmarried.
Oh, I see. She owns the blonde Cocker Spaniel.
No, she is the blonde Cocker Spaniel.
Pudgy.
You sure your father isn't home?
Of course not. There's no one home except Higgins.
Okay. Boy, your father sure was mad last night.
Father was just plain nasty last night and won't stand being treated this way. I'm not a child anymore. Look at me, Pudgy. I'm not a child, am I? I'm a woman.
You bet. Yeah. Boy.
Say it, yes. I'm going to have a life of my own. Pudgy, we've got to make the decision to break away from our parents once and for all. Do you love me? Well, don't you sit there with your mouth hanging open. Do you love me?
Boy, yeah, sure.
That settles it.
Settles what?
We're going to get married.
Married, us? Gee whiz.
You said you loved me.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with getting married?
We'll run away together. We'll elope right now.
But Nancy, I can't elope right now.
Why not?
But I promised Dad I'd mow the lawn today.
Are we going to let our parents run our lives, or are we going to do it?
But you're not packed. And I'm not either.
I refuse to take any clothes Daddy bought me. We'll start fresh. We'll buy all new clothes.
Buy all new clothes? Both of us? But Nancy, my allowance.
My mind's made up. Come on, Pudgy. We'll go right down to the city hall and get the license.
You're not going to tell your folks or anything?
Of course, I always tell them where I'm going. Now, let's see. I'll write a note and leave it right here on the radio. Dear Mother, Pudgy and I are eloping.
Do you have to put my name in the note?
Well, sure, why not?
Well, gee whiz, your mother might get mad at me.
Who cares? We'll borrow Daddy's car and leave right now.
But you told me your father wouldn't let you use it.
Oh, gee, that's right.
Well, I guess we can't elope.
Oh, yes, we can. I'll think of some way to get the keys from Higgins. Higgins!
Did you call, Miss Nancy? Oh, good morning, Master Pudgy. Talkative gentleman, isn't he?
Higgins, do you have a set of car keys?
Car keys? Yes, I do, Miss Nancy.
Well, Pudgy and I have a very important errand to do, and we'd like to borrow the car.
But, Miss Nancy, you know, your father was very angry last night. He said you went to use the car for a few days.
Well, I know, but what we were going to do was going to keep him from getting mad again. After today, we won't sit in the living room with the lights out anymore.
Oh, I see. Yes, you're going to have Master Pudge's eyes fixed. So that he won't have to sit in the dark.
Yes, that's it. Well, we've got to hurry and get his eyes examined.
Oh, I'm sure your father would approve of this. Here are the keys.
Oh, thank you, Higgins. Thank you very much. Come on, Pudgy. Goodbye, Higgins. Say goodbye, Pudgy.
Sounds like a hyena. Fancy that Pudgy wearing glasses with that porcupine haircut and that mouth hanging open. And those popping eyes. My word, with glasses, he'll look like a flounder.
Well, Miss Armbruster, I'm certainly glad we found all the deed records to your property here at the City Hall.
Yes. Now we can go for that nice car ride.
Really, Miss Armbruster.
I've asked you to call me Gloria. I'm just Gloria to you.
Yes. Well, we'll take a cab to my house and pick up my car.
I understand some of my property is right on Lover's Lane.
Yes. That's where all the high school kids go.
I know why they go there, Phil.
Yes. Well, better call a cab.
Oh, gosh, Mr. Roberts.
Oh, Daddy.
Nancy, what are you doing with our car?
That is, Pudgy and I...
Let's go, Nancy.
Give me the keys. Thank you. Now, who let you have these keys, hmm?
Oh, Higgins. We borrowed the car for an errand.
Well, we'll talk about it later. Miss Armbruster, this is my daughter, Nancy, and her friend, Pudgy.
Nancy, why, you darling, you look charming, so young and so terribly attractive.
Yeah, well, we'll take the car, Nancy. Here you are, Miss Armbruster.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Nancy.
Oh, now we don't have a car, darn.
Yeah, I guess we can't elope now. Nobody ever eloped walking.
Pudgy, we aren't going to give up this easy.
We're not?
No. If we don't have the car, we'll take a cab.
A cab? But that's expensive. Gosh, a cab, all new clothes, the license. Getting married is going to cost a lot of money. Gee, maybe I ought to go home and mow the lawn before we elope.
What for goodness sake?
Pop pays me $1 for mowing the lawn.
Oh, Higgins.
Yes, madam.
Has Mr. Roberts called about dinner tonight yet?
No, Mrs. Roberts. I haven't heard from him.
I do hope he can make it tonight.
No, I'm sure Mr. Roberts does, too.
I'm going upstairs and change.
Very well, madam. My word, look at that clutter on top of the radio. Pencils and papers. Why, this looks like a note. It is a note. It says, Dear Mother, Pudgy and I are eloping. How sweet, eloping. Eloping! Eloping, and it's my fault. I gave him the car. I said, that's not cricket. Oh, I've got to stop them at once. I shall call the police immediately. Operator, police headquarters.
Police headquarters.
Hello, are you there?
What are you, a wise guy or something?
Let me talk to the inspector.
What kind, Inspector? Street, traffic, elevator, restaurant, water, sewage, safety, fire, school, election, postal, tax, or garbage?
Oh. You don't understand. None of those. The police inspector.
He's in Washington.
We'll call him back. This is a very urgent matter. I want you police chaps to stop a car. Stop a car immediately. The license number is 23687.
Who are you?
I'm Higgins. I butler for the Roberts family.
You what?
I'm a butler and I butler.
Yeah. Well, it takes all kinds to make a world. Okay, now why do you want us to stop the car?
Well, you'll find a couple in it. You see, they're eloping. And we won't have it. For family and personal reasons, we want them stopped.
Oh, a couple running away to get married, huh? I'll be glad to prevent a disaster like that. Yes, sir, I'm a married man myself.
Oh, yes, quite. Please phone me when you have them safely away in your jail.
Oh, don't you worry, Higgins. Nobody never escapes from this jail. This is the best jail in the county.
How wonderful. I'll recommend it to all my friends.
Phil,
Miss Armbruster?
Gloria.
Yes, Gloria.
I think you're the sweetest lawyer I ever met.
Yes, I think it's about time we got back.
Oh, silly. What your wife doesn't know won't hurt her.
Yeah, maybe not, but when she finds out, it'll hurt me.
I'm going to sit a little closer to you. Sure. There. Isn't that nice?
Oh, that perfume you're wearing, it makes me all...
It's called smoldering fire.
Gosh, it's hot in the car.
You're a very attractive man, Phil.
Please, that perfume, smoldering fire, the smoke's getting in my eyes.
What's the matter, Phil? Can't you take it?
I don't want it. Please. Don't sit so close to me. That perfume, smoldering fire. Please, I'm a lawyer, not a fireman.
Oh, Philzy. You're just pretending not to like me. Look at my eyes. What do you see in my eyes?
What do I see? A cop on a motorcycle?
What?
A cop on a motorcycle? Oh, no, I wasn't going too fast.
You certainly weren't.
Will you answer the phone, Higgins?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't dream of letting you answer it, Mrs. Roberts. Hello?
Police department calling. Is this Higgins?
Yes. Have you caught them?
Yeah, they're locked up in a cell right now. The guy put up quite a fight.
Oh, fine. Splendid. Wonderful. I'll be right down. Goodbye.
Hey, just a minute.
Higgins? Who was that on the phone? Oh, my goodness. Why did he run out like that? Hello?
Hello, missus. This is the police. Your butler, Higgins, just run off without finding out where we got the prisoners.
Police? Prisoners?
Sure, he had us pick them up. Mr. Roberts and some dame he was running away with. They'll open. They're at the Green Acres station.
Philip? Running away with a woman? My Philip? Oh!
Hello? Hey, what's wrong? Huh? She must have fainted.
My word, officer. Why didn't you tell me where you had Miss Nancy and Pudgy?
Well, you hung up too fast. Well, we got your romantic couple safe and sound.
I'm certainly grateful to you for stopping them before anything had happened.
I'll turn them over to you now, but you better watch out. That guy was ready to fight anybody.
He was?
Yeah, but Dame thought it was funny. She even told me, she thought I was a real cute cop.
Cop. Oh, yes, you are, of course, indeed, yes. Nancy said that?
Okay, lovebirds, you're out. I'll sue somebody for false arrest. I'll speak to the mayor. I'll wire the governor.
My word, Pudge's voice has finally changed.
John, Phil, why get so excited?
Higgins, you had the nerve to come down here after what you did to me?
What were you doing in the car?
Never mind what I was doing in the car. What's the idea of having Miss Armbruster and me arrested?
Miss Armbruster?
Higgins, don't just repeat my question. Explain what you've done.
Oh, I'm not sure I can explain it to myself, sir.
Well, perhaps this will give you a clue.
Yes.
The officer here said you had us arrested because we were eloping.
Oh, no, sir. That's silly. That's stupid. I called to have Miss Nancy and Master Pudgy arrested.
Hey, what for?
They were eloping.
Nancy? Eloping? Married to that halibut?
Mr. Roberts, really, sir, we're not positive Miss Nancy did marry Pudgy.
Who needs proof? The thought is gruesome enough.
Stop pushing.
Get in there. We'll see what the sergeant thinks of your story.
Pudgy.
delivered into my hands by fate.
Mr. Roberts. Oh, no, quick, officer, lock me up, please.
Stand back, everybody. All I want to do is place my hands carefully around his throat and squeeze until I'm shaking hands with myself.
Oh. Up where you are, Mr. Roberts. I see assault and battery in your eyes.
You've got astigmatism. That's murder.
Oh, oh, not that, sir.
Phil, let's go.
No, I want to make sure that whatever this eloper has done, that they hang him.
Sarge, you want to hear the charge against this boy?
I wasn't doing nothing.
Shut up and let the officer speak.
Yes, sir.
He was in a jewelry store with a young woman. He looked at rings and they both tried one on.
Oh, thank heaven. Then she didn't marry him, did she?
We never got a chance.
Where's Miss Nancy now?
Outside.
After they tried them on, this guy only had $1.50.
So all he had to do was give the rings back.
Yes, sir. But this guy here couldn't get his off.
My fingers are kind of pudgy.
Fat is the word.
Oh.
And so is your head. Where's Nancy? Nancy! Quiet! So this is what you do when my back is turned. Run off to marry a
codfish, sir.
Codfish?
Daddy, please, we didn't get married.
Perhaps we should go home, Mr. Roberts.
And I've got to go, Phil. I'm sorry about it.
Don't anyone get near me. Pudgy, come here.
Daddy, don't you touch Pudgy. It wasn't his fault.
Can I say something?
No.
Sorry.
Pudgy, don't you ever come near Nancy again. I advise you to leave town.
But I'm so young to go out on my own.
Daddy, please.
Mr. Roberts, please, stop and think a moment, sir. There must be a silver lining to this dilemma.
Silver lining?
After all, sir, Mrs. Roberts doesn't know a thing about it.
I don't care. Yeah. Yes, that's right. All I need is for her to show up, and then...
Philip.
Oh.
Philip. Oh,
Oh, Elizabeth.
Oh, Nancy.
Oh, Pudgy.
Oh, dear.
Oh, nuts.
Oh, heavens to Betsy.
Philip, this woman, is this the blonde cocker? Daniel. Well.
Yes. No. That is...
Really, Philip? I had no idea you had such a young mother.
Well!
Higgins, take Miss Armbrister home in a cab.
Oh, thank goodness.
And the rest of you in the car.
What about me in the ring?
I'll guarantee payment on the ring, officer. Better yet, I'll return it with a finger if I need to. Now get in the car, everybody. Well, just don't stand there, Higgins. Take Miss Armbrister home in a cab.
Come on, Higgins.
Mr. Roberts.
Well, what's the matter?
She's your client, sir.
Go ahead, Higgins.
If you say so, sir, but I'm not at all sure how I'll get along with Cocker Spaniels.
Well, Philip, explain, please.
Nancy was eloping with Pudgy.
Nancy? Eloping with Pudgy?
We didn't, though, Mrs. Roberts.
Oh, Nancy, how could you?
So, you see, Higgins had the car stopped to stop them, and he stopped me.
I'm sorry, Mother. I didn't really mean to do it. But Daddy was so mean last night.
Me? Mean? Oh, Nancy, you say that after all I've done for you, all the money we spent to send you to school and bring you up right...
You leave that poor child alone, Phyllis. Oh, Nancy.
Oh, Mother.
You've ruined our whole family. Are you satisfied?
Oh, Daddy, don't say that to me.
I was saying it to him.
Me? What did I do?
What about the woman, Phyllis?
The client you said was a man.
I never said she was a man, dear. You did.
You didn't correct me.
Well, you know how you hate to have me correct you.
What about the Cocker Spaniel?
Gee whiz, we don't have a Cocker Spaniel.
She's talking to me.
When did we get a Cocker Spaniel?
We didn't.
Was that blonde hair from a Cocker Spaniel?
Let's get back to Nancy and her elopement. That's the serious thing.
No, no, let Mother change the subject.
Yeah, I go along with that.
You keep your mouth shut.
Don't you dare to talk to me like that.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to him. His mouth is hanging open again.
How could you run off with a woman like that?
I think Nancy's swell.
Nobody was running off. It was strictly business.
Then Pudgy doesn't love me.
A married man with three children running off with another woman.
Pudgy, three children, huh? Married!
Now stop this crying before I turn you over my knee and spank you. You're not too old for it, you know.
Now he wants to beat a poor helpless woman.
Beat me? Oh, Pudgy, you're a beast. Who said anything about beating anybody?
I did, and be quiet or I'll include you.
There, you admit you threatened to beat me.
I do not.
Oh, now you're lying about it.
Men, they're all alike.
Don't you put me in a class with Pudgy.
Gee whiz, a fellow doesn't have to put up with being insulted.
Tell me the truth. Were you running away?
No.
Yes.
There, you admit it.
I did not say that.
Then it's two against one.
Nancy, I want to warn you. If you ever try to elope again without my permission, I'll...
What about that Cocker Spaniel?
What about this ring on my finger?
What about the dollar you borrowed from me, Pudgy?
Well, I'm glad to see everything's all straightened out. Any questions?
What about the mail?
Now, Elizabeth, you see how simple the whole thing is, dear. Do you understand now?
Perfectly, dear. Everything's all straightened out.
That's good. I'm glad you understand the whole mix-up so perfectly.
Oh, I do, dear. Now sit down here next to me.
Yes, Elizabeth. And everything's forgotten.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Now, what about that blonde Cocker Spaniel?
Oh, no. Oh, excuse me, Elizabeth. I'll see who that is.
Good evening, sir.
Higgins, that dog.
Yes, sir. Blonde Cocker Spaniel with very long, silky hair. But...
A Cocker Spaniel?
Yes, madam. Lovely dog. Miss Armbruster gave it to Mr. Roberts. Since the animal was so fond of him, and jumped all over him at the office yesterday.
Oh, then there was a Cocker Spaniel all the time.
Yeah.
Naturally. Isn't that what I said?
Oh, Philip, forgive me. Come here.
Oh, there. There, Elizabeth. Let's not get all emotional about how sorry we are about what we thought about our husband.
All right, dear. Mm-hmm. Excuse me now. I'll go get dinner ready.
Higgins?
Sir? Oh, he likes you, sir.
Yes. Yes, he does. Higgins, where did you get that dog?
Oh, it was nothing, sir. Sort of thing butlers do all the time, sir.
Where did you get it?
You'll get the bill tomorrow, sir, at the office.
Higgins, you rascal. But what took you so long getting home?
Well, you see, sir, I couldn't get a cab, sir.
Higgins, come here.
Yes, sir.
What's that on your collar? My goodness, you're wounded.
Wounded, sir?
Higgins, that's lipstick.
Yes, sir. And I'm proud to report I got it in the line of duty, sir.
This has been It's Higgins, Sir, a new comedy series starring Harry McNaughton, with Vinton Hayworth and Vera Allen as Mr. and Mrs. Roberts. It's Higgins, Sir is directed and transcribed by Paul Harrison and written by Paul Harrison and Rick Bullard. This is Lionel Rico speaking.
Be sure to tune in next time, my friends, for another classic comedy radio show. I'm Greg Fordyce.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.